Welcome to an inspirational Sunday message from Found Church. We hope you will be challenged and encouraged while listening to this message. For more information, or if you'd like to contact us, please visit our church website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Amen. Amen. Well, I think it'd be fair to say this morning that we all like to know in life that we're in some way protected. And that might be something simple, like we're buying a car and it comes with a warranty. Used to be you got a 3-year warranty in a car. I think now Toyota have maybe pushed it to 10 years, although there's some criteria with that. But it's that feeling of having some kind of security. And there's many things that we do in life where security and protection are important. I was at the Apple shop a few weeks ago. My daughter's going to uni next week, and she wanted to buy a computer, and they were asking her about AppleCare. So she then asked me about AppleCare. Do I need this? It's more money. And I was like, well, it's your first computer, and you're going to uni. I would take AppleCare. It'll give you some kind of protection for the purchase that you've made. Other areas of life, when we fly, there's so many things being done that we probably don't know about and probably don't want to know about that are being done behind the scenes to protect passengers and to keep them safe. Remember back to 2020 when COVID-19 was a thing, and we were all encouraged to get vaccinations to protect us from that illness. If we travel far away, we might be asked to get some travel vaccinations, and there's just other health related vaccinations that give us protection as we go through life. See, all the things that I've spoken about there offer us a level of protection, and they keep us safe from various things. We're currently in a new series called What Can the Bible Do For You? And our aim in this series is to explore the Bible with fresh eyes, to engage with its timeless truths, and to apply its wisdom to our daily lives. And whether you're new to the Bible or have studied it for years, we're hoping that this series will equip you not only to comprehend, but also to live out the powerful messages that God has woven into every page. We'll discover the depth and relevance of the Bible in our lives today. We'll learn how to read it, how to engage with it, how to trust it, and how to apply it. I was listening to a podcast this week. There's a man speaking about discipleship. And he said, as he was speaking, discipleship is the answer to everything. And then he went on to explain it, and he says, if I meet people where their relationships are breaking down, or if they're having trouble in their marriage, discipleship will help with that. If I speak to churches and they don't know like how they can reach out more into their community to see people come to faith, then discipleship can help with that. And as I was listening, I was starting to think, actually, this series we're on, looking at the Bible, it is very true, the same thing about the Bible. If people's relationships are breaking down or marriages are struggling, the Bible can help with that. If we are finding it difficult to work out who we should reach or how we're going to reach people to bring them to Jesus, then the Bible can help with that. So I thought it was relevant to think whatever we read in Scripture can help in our daily lives, and that's what we're trying to do with this series. But today I want to answer the question, what can the Bible do for you, by considering that it can protect you. And to get some kind of insight into how God has protected people in the Bible, it's good just to start with characters that we're familiar with. We think about Isaac. His father Abraham asked by God to take his son, his only son, and to sacrifice him. And then God protects Isaac from harm. He produces a sacrifice so that Isaac does not have to die. Think about Daniel, thrown into the lion's den. But God did not let Daniel get hurt. He sent his angel to protect Daniel, and he shut the lion's mouths. David, here's Goliath shouting insults to the Lord. He gets angry, and he says, I'm going to fight the giant. God protects him, and with a sling and a stone, he killed the giant. Think about Gideon. Gideon had his issues when God says, you're my man, you're a mighty warrior. Gideon struggled with that a bit. Not only that, God asked him to go and fight, and he whittled his army down to around 300 men. and they were fighting against thousands. But God was on their side, and he led them to victory. Think about Elijah. He prophesied a drought, and God knew that Ahab at the time would try to blame everything on Elijah. So he sends him away to a safe place, and he fed him. Ravens brought food twice a day. The Lord protected Elijah from the famine and from Ahab's anger. A few months ago, we were looking at Daniel, and we came across Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refusing to do what King Nebuchadnezzar had commanded everyone, to bow down to the image of gold. They knew that doing so would displease God. They were thrown into the fiery furnace, and when they were brought out, not even a strand of hair on their heads was singed. See, these examples from Scripture show some ways in which God has protected his people. And today we live in a world that threatens us with danger in one form or another. So how do we live in peace? How do we overcome trouble when it suddenly appears? And to answer this, I just want to look at one psalm today. If you've been in and around church for any length of time, you'd probably be able to guess where we're going. But I want to open up Psalm 91 this morning, and I want to consider what it tells us about how God will protect us. So reading through from verse 1 of Psalm 91, it says this: "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up on their hands, and they will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. It's a wonderful psalm to read at any time. But thinking about how God protects his people, it puts a lot of things into perspective for us. And I just want to open that up this morning. And I think the first thing, right at the beginning of this psalm, we see that God's protection is personal. This protection is reserved for those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High God. This is for people who know God and are in constant, close communion with him. To dwell is to live, to habitually reside. This is not for people that just sometimes pop into church. It's not for people that kind of, maybe, sort of believe in God. No, it's very clear right at the start of this psalm. Those who dwell in the shelter of the Most High. God offers his protection to those that know his love in Christ Jesus. To dwell in the shelter of the Most High is to live in God's complete eternal rest and safety. And the psalmist goes to further lengths to ensure that the reader understands that this is a personal issue. Verse 2 we read, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress, my God in whom I trust." See, there's more weight to saying, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge," than just to say, "The Lord is a refuge." See, to boldly proclaim God is my refuge brings honour to God. And if other people hear us speaking in those terms, they might want the same confidence that we have in God. They might want it for themselves. Back when I led a late night street team in Glasgow, we'd go out 10 till 2 in the morning, mostly speaking to students. We chose students' night, a Thursday night. And We used to just, there'd be seven or eight of us on the team, we'd pair up and we'd walk up and down Socky Hall Street. We wore high-vis jackets, we had our Bibles, we would stop, speak to people, pray for people, open the Bible and talk about stuff that's in the Bible, and we did that for a few years. But one night, someone appeared, we used to stand on the corner for half an hour, and then we would go and walk up and down the street. And someone appeared that had come out of one of the bars on Socky Hall Street, and he spoke to the team, and what he said to the team was, "I've been watching you for a number of weeks, and I want what you have." And the team were young, and they came over and they say, "This guy's just said that he's been watching us for weeks, and what do we do?" I said, "Tell him about Jesus." Okay. So they went and they had this conversation speaking to this guy in the street, and then they led this guy to Christ on the street in Socky Hall Street. And it was amazing and it was brilliant, and we were celebrating and we were praising God. And do you know what? The next week, we got out onto the streets, and here's a guy walking with his own high-vis jacket. He came, he joined the team, we were speaking to people, they were saying stuff about it, and he would break in and say, "No, I've been to their church, you need to go and see, Jesus is amazing." Like, that was one weekend from sitting watching a group of young people telling folk about Jesus. Didn't even know that's what they were doing, but he said, "I want what they have." A few weeks ago at the Evangelical Leaders Forum, Stephen said something like, "We have to remember as Christians, your life might be the only Bible that people will read." And that's a challenging statement, because that makes us think, well, I hope that it's a good rendition of the Bible that they're reading. But then there's another statement, and I love this. If you were to be arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to prove it? Think that one over with a coffee later on. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would they be able to gather enough evidence? The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you pray, the way you speak, everything. Would they have enough to convict you? We need to live our faith in these times. The second thing from this psalm we see is a picture of God's protection. And the psalmist gives us two great images here. The first one is an image in relation to the presence of danger. God is protecting people from the fowler's snare. We could also put in there the hunter's trap, from deadly disease. And it almost reads like it's saying, we are going to have invisible protection from invisible dangers. And it's unlikely that you're always going to see the danger coming. You're not always going to see the danger in front of you. But you will be safe because God has protected you from it. And it can be easy to get frustrated as we go about our day. We get held up. The day doesn't go how we plan it. The bus doesn't turn up. The train doesn't turn up. The meeting that I'm in just runs on and on and on, and there's so many other things I need to do. There's so many other places that I need to be. Your sat-nav takes you on another detour too many. And you know what? Over the years, I've tried to just stop. You could get frustrated about that. You could get wound up about that. You could be really annoyed about that. But then just ask the question of God, what is it that you're doing that's causing these things to happen throughout my day? What is it that you're stopping me from seeing? What is it that you're stopping me from being a part of? A good number of years ago, foolishly, some would say, took on the Three Peaks Challenge, climbing the three highest peaks in the UK, Ben Nevis, Scafell Pike, and Mount Snowdon. And that doesn't sound too much, but if I say it's 10,000 feet of climbing, 27 miles of walking, 400 miles in the back of the car, and you have to do it all in 24 hours, that changes things a little bit. And we left Scafell Pike, we were doing well, our sat-nav was rubbish, it took us up and down Dale, literally, and we just could not get from where we were to the motorway. And we were on the motorway for about, I don't know, less than 10 minutes, and we ground to a halt. And we were there an hour, maybe 2 hours, sitting in the car. People were getting out of their cars. I mean, everything round about us was stopped. And we're thinking, we're on the clock here. We've done two mountains already. And we need to be at Snowdon for 1 o'clock. And there was not a chance we were getting to Snowdon for 1 o'clock. And we were talking in the car, and we were like, well, maybe that's it, it's done. We've given it our best shot. We can't do anything about this. And like we were texting back and forth with home. And when I text Eleanor, she texts me back something, and it said something like this: don't worry about it. You've given it your best shot. If you had been on the motorway earlier, it could have been your car that was involved in the accident. Just thank God that you're safe. And that puts things into perspective for us. We're protected from dangers that we can't even see. We got to Snowden at 2, and I did it with 9 minutes to spare, but that's another message that we've not got time for this morning. But God is certainly good. And the second image we see here, it talks about God drawing near and fighting our battles. And the imagery that we see is God protecting those who dwell close to him. The psalmist described God's intimate care, taking them under his wing. What a picture to see God taking us under his wing. Almost like a bird would do to protect her young. And we see about his faithful protection, the shield and the armour. It's like a double portion of protection for those who fully rely on God. Moving on, we see, as we walk through this psalm, the outcome. And there's two outcomes here. You will not fear, you will not fall. And I've said already, it's unlikely that you'll get noticed that the danger is coming your way. And danger can come to you in any form. Various forms at any time of the day and night. But if your trust is fully in God, you can live without fear. Verses 7 and 8, thinking about you will not fall. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. And when we look behind these verses, we see that this points to God's punishment of the wicked. Only God will judge the wicked. But as God's people, we don't have to fear his judgment. God will judge the world, and people might fall to your left and to your right, but as God's people, we will not fall. And in preparation for speaking this morning, I started to think through that moment of judgment, that judgment day. But there's a wonderful truth contained within this, and I don't want you to miss this morning. As followers of Jesus, you don't have to appear at this judgment. Jesus will appear for you if you allow him to do so. We read Daniel, we see about the books of record being opened. But if we read in Revelation 20 verse 12, we read of another book, the book of life. And if your name is found in this book, then the outcome of your case is assured. John 5:24 tells us your case won't even be heard. Jesus says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Now I've got here, this is great news, and loads of exclamations. I thought we might have got a shout for that. Those who are in Christ will not be judged. They've moved over from death to life. For the person who trusts in Christ, the judgment has already taken place. It took place because Christ was sentenced on in our place on the cross. And that should be a wake-up call for anybody that's not in Christ to believe and put your trust in God. Jesus died on the cross as a punishment for your sins. He died so that you might live. He died to set you free. We're getting towards the middle of the psalm, and I need to get a move on. But in the second half of the psalm, we start to see the approach of God's protection and care. Again, we hear that this is for God's people. The psalmist emphasizes that the promise of God's safety and care is not for everyone. It's reserved for the people of God. Verse 9, if you say, the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling. It then goes on to say that God commands his angels concerning you. And we don't have time to fully explore angels this morning, but this psalm is clear. God will protect his people, and he will commission angels to carefully watch over the faithful. In his book on angels, Billy Graham says this: I believe in angels because the Bible says there are angels, and I believe the Bible to be the true word of God. We face dangers every day of which we are not even aware. Often God intervenes on our behalf through the use of his angels. Angels guide, comfort, and provide for the people of God in the midst of suffering and persecution. Which leads us into my final observation from Psalm 91, the promise. We have a promise here of safety and rescue. And as happens in several Psalms, the last few verses are reserved for God to speak. And he reiterates the promise of the Psalm. Packed into the last few lines of the Psalm, God mentioned the ways in which he will care and protect for his people. I will rescue him. I will protect him. He will call on me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. One last time at the end of the psalm, we see that these promises are for the people of God. Promises are not for all. They're reserved for the people who love him, acknowledge his name, and call on him. Again, the good news is that you can receive these promises today if you're in Christ. If you're not in Christ, or you've never given your life to Jesus, then this is a glimpse of what you're missing out on. God promises to protect you and keep you safe. And all you have to do is call on him and he will answer. Trust him and dwell in his shadow. Say yes to Jesus and your sins will be forgiven. You can be set free. And I was trying to weigh up how to finish this morning. And just thinking about the solar stuff, actually, I can imagine people asking questions. But what about when? That's great saying God's doing all this stuff. But what about when? When this happens to this person? What about the Christians that this happened to? Well, I believe we can get answers from Scripture for those kinds of questions. I read an article from New Break Church. It says this: it's imperative to know that God's faithfulness and protection have not failed us if we pass into death. And I believe this statement to be true. I was training in America to be, just go with this one, a critical incident stress management chaplain. But the course was set up to prepare faith-based first responders to respond to disasters and offer relief to those that are in crisis. And we were taught this, and this, get this today. Firstly, if we face a crisis situation or a disaster situation in our lives based on Psalm 91, we have discovered this already, God will protect us from danger or harm. He will stop the thing from even happening. He will go before us and he will stop it. Secondly, if we are in the midst of crisis or a disaster, if we are really going through it, if we are really up against it, we see that God will preserve us through it. Psalm 18:1-6 says this: I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. And if we skip down to verse 16, we read this: he reached down from on high and he took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Isaiah 43, but now this is what the Lord says: he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you in Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. And finally, if we pass into death, then we know we'll experience his presence. Psalm 23 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He leads me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup it overflows. Surely, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, we can face crisis and disaster. We can go through dark and tough times, even endure death, our own death or someone else that we love, but we don't need to fear, because God has already given us victory over every circumstance, and because of Jesus' work on the cross. The band can come back now. We're chasing some time here. The time has gone, but I just want to just one or two things as we respond to the message this morning. First thing I think, based on Psalm 91, is this: we need to make a decision on where we dwell. Do we dwell fully in Christ, or are we in the world? I've heard it said that you should cling on to God with both hands. Just hold on to Him. But it's really difficult to hold on to God with both hands when you've got one hand on the world and one hand on Him. We need to dwell in His shadow. We need to hold on to Him. It's like saying having one foot in the world or one foot in the kingdom of God. What might you have to do in your life to put both feet firmly in God's kingdom? Second thing I would say from Psalm 91 is this, that we need to take responsibility. God is at work and He will protect you and He'll keep you safe. But there are conditions that you have to take responsibility. We need to dwell in Him. We need to trust Him. We need to be bold and not fear. We need to observe what God is doing. We need to hold fast to Him in love. And we need to call to Him. Final thing then, and tying on to calling to Him, is that we need to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer. We need to be in prayer, constant communion, conversation with God. The Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, let your requests be known to Him. Constant, continual, ongoing conversation with God in prayer. And when we do that, when we cry out to Him, He hears our cry and He answers.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've been challenged and inspired. Please feel free to contact us through our website, foundchurch.co.uk, or you can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.